Hello, welcome to the Good Life Podcast. I'm Matt Carpenter. I've always been kind of a sucker for political spectrum quizzes. You know, those quizzes that you answer certain questions and they tell you where you fit on a political map, either to the left or to the right. First time I ever came across one of those was in college, and I was fascinated that you could get an idea of where you are on that. It always ended up that the people to my right, I thought, well, they're mistaken, they're misguided, and people to my left, I considered crazy or extremely crazy. Funny how that always works. In time, I came to see that there's more than just the left-right axis. It should actually be a vertical and horizontal axis. So it should be, you should have four quadrants. And of course, you keep the horizontal left-right axis, but then there's also the vertical axis. The top half is for those who believe in a higher degree of authority. And the bottom half is for those who believe in a higher degree of freedom. And that worked for a time, and I even would have my students just for in American government do a little an assignment where they would have to answer some questions and fit into one of those quadrants. But that even didn't satisfy what I was trying to do. Frankly, I didn't know what I was trying to do, but I knew it was interesting, and it helped people understand where they are. And that's an important point. These quizzes, just like personality tests, which also are interesting, they're not foolproof. They make problems if you rely on them too much, but they do help you understand something about yourself. You understand what your important priorities are, what you think should be dealt with or not dealt with. A couple of years ago, I was referred to an article by a guy named Noah Millman at a now defunct blog called, I think it was the League of Ordinary Gentlemen or something like that. Again, it's no longer around. I had to use the Wayback Machine to find it. But it was, I was referred to that by another historian named Tanner Greer, who has a really good website called The Scholar Stage. So anyway, so Greer was writing about Millman's article, and Millman introduced three different areas where we can consider and determine what our political beliefs are. So instead of just the left versus right and authority versus freedom, he introduces liberal conservative differentiation, where a liberal, and I'm quoting Greer now, a liberal outlook trusts individuals and questions authority. A conservative outlook distrusts individuals and defers to authority. Then there is also the left-right, the left-right division. So a right-wing perspective is animated by an affinity for the winners of society and their interests, while a left-wing perspective is animated by an affinity for the losers and their interests. So by losers, in Christianese, we would say those who are the marginalized, those who are the weak, those who don't have a strong voice in society. So do you care more about making sure that those who have the capacity to be successful, had the freedom to be successful, that they're encouraged? Or do you care more about making sure that those who might be left behind are taken care of? That's the second, the left-right. But then the third, which was new for me, but it appealed to me as someone who studies history, and that is the progressive versus reactionary. So this revolves around attitudes towards history. Again, quoting Greer, the progressive is future-oriented. things will or could be better in the future than they are now. But more than this, history has a direction that can be discerned and that one must one must be cognizant of in constructing one's politics. This is called by the historian Herbert Butterfield the Whig view of history. He has a book on a book about that, which describes this view of history that appreciates progress. I mean, he doesn't actually, he's identifying this as the view of history that appreciates progress and sees that we are moving in a good direction. But the reactionary, on the other hand, is past oriented. So the reactionary sees, or is better able to see the good of the past and has doubts about where things are or where they are headed. Now, I had not heard this included in the view of one's politics, but I would say it plays a very important role. So it intrigued me that one could put all of these together. And it also helped me understand for myself why I'm drawn to people who are skeptical of where certain trends in society are going. I am drawn to reading those who have a reactionary view, or those who are, and I want to clarify this, those who are skeptical about what the projects we're embarking on as society right now, and who see a lot of wisdom. They don't necessarily want us to go back and live like we did in the past. That's a mistaken view of many who are reactionary, many who doubt the progress-oriented ideas. But they want us to be very slow in how we move and to take into account the good that we've learned in the past. So this served me well, because there's a lot more color in this perspective than there was in that previous perspective, the four quadrants, which many are accustomed to. Well, the other day, I came across another interesting taxonomy. And at this point, some of you are saying, how much further are you going to go with this? But yeah, that's all right. It's helpful. It's by a guy whose pen name is N.S. Lyons. He has a Substack called The Upheaval, which is excellent if you want to understand the larger story of American politics and world politics. Lyons is an expert on China and what they are doing. He's been writing about this for a while. So anyway, but he produced something similar to what Noel Millman mentioned, but it adds yet another element to thinking about where we fall in our political views. So Lyons says that there's the progressive versus conservative. Now, that would map onto Millman's progressive versus reactionary. It all has to do with your philosophy of history. So that's the same. Lyons' second differentiation is the egalitarian versus hierarchical view. So an egalitarian believes in equality, that the goal of life should be, or that the goal of the decisions you make as a society should lead you toward equality, versus hierarchy, or those who are hierarchical, who have a stronger appreciation for authority, those who are who like strong leaders, whether that's an aristocracy, whether it is a monarchy, or leaders and rulers who lead clearly and who lead firmly. Every society, and here I'm giving away some of my own views, but every society has an elite. Egalitarian societies have an elite. They just lie about how the elite become who they are. Elite are inescapable. Someone will lead. It may not be a good someone who leads or a group who leads, but Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes, woe to you when the poor reigns as a prince. With all of these together, well, excuse me, I didn't actually finish. Let me go back. So progressive versus conservative, egalitarian versus hierarchical. The third, individualist versus communalist. Now, I said communalist, not communist, and Lyons makes this point very well. So an individualist values the needs of the individual more than the communalist. The communalist values the needs of the community over the individual. So the communalist is much more likely to say, like President John F. Kennedy did famously in his inauguration speech, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what can you do for your country. That is a statement of communalism. Now, again, the United States even then was a very large place, and the United States cannot be counted as a community, but you get the point. Is it more important that you should care for your neighbors than that you should do first and foremost what's good for you? You can take this too far, I understand, but many take it too far. So that division, individualist versus communalist, and then the fourth, and this is the most important addition from in my own thinking from what Lyons says, and that is the materialist rationalist versus the spiritual intuitive. The materialist rationalist versus the spiritual slash intuitive. Everyone in society fits, especially that last category. Everyone leans more towards a materialist, a rationalist view of society, or is more spiritual or intuitive. Now, when I say spiritual or intuitive, I don't automatically mean Christian. Christians can, and I would say should be, spiritual and intuitive. You should believe certain things about reality. But many of us lean much more on the rationalist, on the materialist side. And all of these differentiations are on a continuum. You're not merely only one or the other. It's not, in economic terms, it's not a all or nothing proposition. You can think at the margins. You can be a little bit more of one. You can be 51% conservative, 49% progressive, or something like that. So many people, though, who are leading us fall clearly on one side or another. Now, there are people who are spiritual slash intuitive that you would not like, because some people who are spiritual or intuitive are those that fall in the I'm spiritual but not religious area, which means I do what I do based on my feelings. Well, that's a terrible way to live your life, and you're probably going to fall apart. I mean, we have a society now, and I would say most of the dominant view of most in the country leans on their own intuitive side, but their intuition is not guided by anything permanent. And for the Christian is both spiritual and intuitive, but has a firm commitment to reason and the rules of reason given by God's Word. So anyway, so those are Lyons' four categories. So I'm going to now take these, and I promise this is the last set of categories that I'm going to give, but I'm going to give you five ways, combining what I've just mentioned, five ways to understand your views on politics and understand the views of others who are around you about politics. And then I'm going to talk briefly in the conclusion about why this should matter. So this is, and again, I've stolen it, but that's okay. I'm acknowledging my sources. Five differentiations. Number one, progressive versus reactionary. What is your philosophy of history? If you have one, are we constantly moving towards progress? Are things getting better? And I understand everybody acknowledges dentistry is better today than it was 50 years ago. That's not what this is about. Should we forego generally what's happened in the past and look to the future, or should we be careful to mine all that we can from the wisdom of the past and be cautious, hesitant in moving towards the future? That's progressive versus reactionary. Number two, egalitarian versus hierarchical. Again, I've already talked about this. What is your view of authority versus your view of equality? Should we strive for equality, or should we submit to and be content and thankful and even pursue a clear hierarchy in society? Number three, individualist versus communalist. Which is more important? And you can see this in different regions of the country. Some regions are much more individualistic, some are much more communalist. Then, number four, left wing versus right wing. What do you value the most? Do you value protecting those who are who would easily be overlooked, those who would be treated badly, those who are neglected? That the term social justice sadly abused, but that does have a place and has had a place in Christian society, wanting to protect those who are weak. If you are against abortion, you have some degree of left-wing sentiment. You value one who is often mistreated. If you, and that is, of course, the baby. If you are against euthanasia, which countries across the Western world are barreling towards euthanasia for any and all reasons, if you are against euthanasia, you have a degree of left-wing sentiments, at least on social issues. So that's, I'm saying that just because most people, when you hear right wing, we think, oh, absolutely, I am totally on, and, but we don't have a real understanding of what that means. It actually comes from the French Revolution, the left wing and right wing differentiation, and you can, it's, anyway, long story there. You can look that up. And then finally, the materialist rationalist versus spiritually intuitive view. Now, this gets down to this question, this last one is, what do you believe about reality, about what's real? Is it just what we can see? Is it our God? Does he care? If you believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, to borrow from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6, then you have some degree of a spiritual intuitive leaning. If you believe that society should be based on only what we can see and what we can empirically verify, and that we make decisions based on that category itself, and we don't need to worry about what's beyond, then you fall into the materialist rationalist category. So that is a helpful way of understanding yourself, but it also can help you in understanding others. And this is why I'm even bringing this up in a podcast called The Good Life. Many don't believe that politics should have a place in our thinking. We shouldn't worry about politics. Polite people don't talk about politics, as Southerners, many Southerners were taught generations ago. But I think if you remember that there's more than just, again, all the people who are to my right who are misguided and to my left who are crazy. If you can break out of that paradigm, you can understand things about people that will be helpful. Many don't know why they hold the views that they hold. They know that they can tell you what their views are. Maybe they don't care. They're ambivalent about some, but they do have a particular perspective. Well, if you dig a little bit, you can actually help people understand, and you just ask some of these questions, you can help them understand why. But also, you can see, even if you don't talk to people about this, it can give you an idea of where they're coming from. And as a Christian, as someone who loves the Lord, who loves His Word, it can help you to love the person that you don't understand that you don't see eye to eye with them on very much. So those who are, for example, many of us probably know someone who is a libertarian. The Libertarian Party puts a high value on freedom. They are usually pursuing policies that they think, many of them at least, think are will lead to an egalitarian, an equalized world. But libertarians, one significant thing about them, and this is where many are, they differ from conservatives, is their view of progress for the future. They believe the world is getting better as we pursue freedom, as we pursue the individual. So, going back to these five categories, the individualistic needs, they believe if everyone pursues their individualistic needs, then that will make all of society better. That will lead to more equality. So they are progressive in the historical sense, not in the modern political sense, but they're progressive. They're egalitarian, they're individualistic. They are certainly more right-wing in that they want the ability for those who have the capacity to be successful to be successful. And then the materialist, rationalist versus spiritual intuitive, they can depends on, again, what their religious beliefs are and the like. But many libertarians, the most famous libertarians in our, say, last 100 years, they are materialist rationalists. I'm thinking of someone like Ludwig von Mises, Friedrich Hayek, well known for their works in libertarian circles, Murray Rothbard, and then even someone like Ayn Rand, who wrote Atlas Shrugged and others. Now she is interesting because as a libertarian, she was hierarchical. She believed in an aristocracy, although she did not call it that. But regardless, now, but the people who are to the left of us, those that in for many Christians that we look down on as being, quote, woke, well, they are progressive. Well, that's understandable, but they have a progressive view of history. They're egalitarian, but they're also individualistic. They are pursuing the same goals as many who are libertarians, but they want their unique choices, their radical expressions of individuality entrenched. And then they are certainly left-wing, that they value freedom, although there are some, well, anyway, I won't go down that road. But they are also intuitive. They're spiritual slash intuitive. Now you say, how can I say that? Well, I didn't say Christian, but they are looking at the world based on their feeling, not based on a materialist or a rationalist view. Look at the statistics for what's going on in the occult, for those who are looking to AI, artificial intelligence, as a way out of, as a way to break beyond the material world as we know it right now. That is a spiritual, intuitive desire. So we see this all around us, and it's easier to understand why people have these perspectives if you can do just a little bit of analysis. And the last thing I'll say is when you see people who hold a different perspective, this can help you if you will look at them with gracious eyes and not with eyes like we are often prone to do in our natural pharisaical views. If you will look at them with a perspective that tries to understand why they are pursuing what they are pursuing, why do some care so much about justice, their view of justice? Because they see a world that had run amok. And they, I mean, we would look at them on the conservative side, we say, yes, and you're the cause of it running amok. You're introducing all this weird stuff that nobody likes. Well, okay, but they don't see that. They see that they are trying to establish justice for those who were overlooked. I'm not saying they're right. I'm saying what they are pursuing is at its heart something that is inherently a good thing. Just because you pursue something for a good reason, that doesn't mean that that good thing, that you're defining it properly or that you're using the right means to do so. But we must not look at those with whom we disagree and say, well, they're just stupid. They're just doing this because they're evil. Yes, there are evil people who are controlled by and who are dominated by powers that are not known to the materialist. I'll say it like that. By demons. By those principalities and powers, those rulers of the darkness of this world. Yes, there are people like that. They are blinded, but they believe, and that there are many of them, that there are others who are striving for things that they see as good. And so our job is to demonstrate to them that there is a way to protect those who are weak that doesn't rely on the prince of the power of the air. There is a way to embrace what is supernatural, to embrace what we cannot see, the God who is there, without having to go through occultic methods. Many of the desires in those that we look at, they're striving for things that they don't know what they're doing. We can help them, but that does require us to get off the high horse, to not mock and scoff, but actually listen, pay attention, and when you have the opportunity, demonstrate the kindness of God. Read Rosaria Butterfield's book, The Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert. She, who is a lesbian professor, she was leading a homosexual group at Syracuse University, was loved by conservative Presbyterian pastor and his wife, who invited her over to their house and just talked and blessed her and conversed with her. And she became a Christian, and now she is one of the most significant voices in all the evangelical world against LGBTQ mess. She came to faith because someone took time to love her, to listen, and to show her hospitality. So understanding these different areas of political thought is not just an exercise in using my brain for another random quiz, but it's a way to understand why people are the way they are, and hopefully how we can help them see a better way. Thanks, and hope you all have a great day.